Dr. Vugelaers, the last time I was here, you were just starting a new pilot called Apple. Perhaps you could tell me, first of all, what Apple is.
The name of the program is called Apple Schools, and Apple stands for Alberta Program Promoting Active Living and Healthy Eating in Schools in Alberta. And what the program is about is promoting healthy eating, active living among kids. They need it badly. 70, 80, maybe 90% of kids do not either eat healthy enough and or are physically active enough. So that is clearly something that needs to be addressed.
Since you started the pilot, it's now a full-blown program. How many schools are you covering?
I think the correct count is now 57 schools.
And is that just in Edmonton or across the province?
No, there's a cluster in Edmonton, there's a cluster in Fort McMurray, and then we're also in rural schools further up north, we're in schools in Aboriginal communities, so we're all over.
What is it that has made this program so attractive to people that they want to get involved?
It's particularly attractive to schools because we acknowledge that teachers, school staff are very busy with what they already have responsibilities for. So just to instruct them or ask them, okay, here's an additional thing that we want you to pay attention to, and that is active living and healthy eating. The chances that that is going to be taken serious are low because the burden that is already on them. So what is attractive is that we actually add that capacity for them. So we work with them a couple of years, and then we hope to leave the schools in a sustainable situation by having changed the culture. We hope that culture then stays there. And that's a culture where basically the environment is such that the healthy choice has become the easy choice.
Now, I watched a little video of the program, and the thing that really astounded me was that you weren't just focusing on the kids, you're also focusing on the parents. How have you been able to get the parents involved?
Maybe not as hard as you may think. Adults are harder to change their behavior than it is the case with kids. However, if you want parents to change, if they want to do it for the sake of the kids, they're very willing to do so.
In the time that the Apple Schools program has been going on, what have you found out? What has changed?
So we deliver the intervention, we deliver the program. What we also do is we do research around it. And we do that actually for a number of reasons. One is to generate scientific evidence, and that evidence is being shared with the world, but also with governments, so they need to know what we are doing and what we do is actually working. What we also do with the research is just feeding it back directly to the schools. And so the schools know, okay, this is where I was last year, and this is where I am this year. Where do I go from here? Do I need to pay more attention to healthy eating, to active living, other things, new topics, etc.? So all that research, it's too much to mention. There's a lot of important messages there. But some things that really stand out was those original Apple schools that were followed for a number of years. We saw very much favorable changes in towards healthier eating. Kids are more active, and we saw a drop in childhood obesity rates, whereas we did not really see that elsewhere in the province. So clearly these changes need to be attributed to the intervention itself. So where we were in the beginning was we selected schools to become Apple schools. We selected schools that really needed us. So we ended up in schools in disadvantaged neighborhoods. And the first baseline measures that we did, we saw that reflected these kids really needed us because their eating habits were way below that of the provincial average. Same thing with the activity levels. They were way below the provincial average. But after 2 years, in both instances, they crossed over. So these kids are no longer disadvantaged in terms of their eating habits. They're actually better than the provincial average. And the same thing is case with activity levels. They no longer are disadvantaged. They're now actually more active than the provincial average.
So is this something that requires money or just simply knowledge to make those changes and make them stick?
We started with a model that certainly needed money. Imagine we need to have a person in the school. Remember what I said, we don't want to burden the teachers. We don't want to burden the school system. So that really needed money to pay for the person in the school. Also the research is, you know, it needs money. We need to go out there, collect the data, process the data. We need to write up the results. All of that needs money. We started off with a model that clearly needs money. But the idea really is that we withdraw from those schools in two and a half, 3 years. And then we hope we leave the school behind in a sustainable situation that, you know, that health promotion culture is still there.
If I'm a parent and my child is going to an Apple school, is it going to cost me much more to feed them in a healthy manner than I'm already spending?
That is a good point. It is often also a matter of managing your meals. You're correct. If you compare the price of a carton of milk with a bottle of Coca-Cola, then you will find that the milk is more expensive. Maybe a little bit here in the city, but you know, if you go to Fort Mac or remote areas, and definitely if you go further north, then that price difference is growing, because milk has to be fresh, and Coca-Cola, you can just have that on your shelf for years and years, and that's basically the reason why it can be sold for a much lesser price than the milk. Quite often the price of food in general not only comes from the direct selection of choice, but also about, you know, how you organize your meal, right? If you buy products fresh in the store and you take your time to prepare it at home and you have your proper 3 meals a day, you don't really need to rely on a lot of the snacks and the in-betweens or the takeout food and all that, because all the added value in those meals, you actually shortcut those costs.
So when you look at where you are now and where you started out, what do you think the legacy of this program is going to be?
What we at the very least hope to achieve and to show is that there is a working alternative. We know it works in terms of the efficiency. What we are still working on is to show that we can upscale this model. And what we also still need to show, and we're working on that, is what the economic implications are. Yes, it will ask for an investment, but we also get a lot back from that investment. We can mention things that are far in the future. Why are we doing this work? Eventually, to improve quality of life and reduce the burden of chronic diseases in our society. And those are major costs for our healthcare system. So the dollars we invest now, we see that paid back in the long term by avoiding healthcare costs. So that is a more or less accepted mechanism, although the precise balance still needs to be quantified. But we could actually look broader, much broader than just looking at those aspects. First of all, and my research already revealed that, is that you could also look at the short term. We now know that obese kids are already drawing more on our healthcare system than normal weight kids are doing. So what that implies is that an investment in prevention of obesity is immediately being paid back in savings for healthcare costs. And I would trust that everybody in the society would agree that that's a worthwhile investment. The dollar you spend on prevention is immediately being paid back in terms of less healthcare costs. If we would specifically look at costs for medication, we also observe that costs that we spend on medications is higher in that subset of children and adolescents that are overweight relatively to those that are not overweight. So those are clearly observations that I think everybody needs to know about, who, you know, everybody who makes these decisions needs to know about. But the implications may actually be even more broader than that and may actually extend to other areas rather than strictly to our healthcare system. And that is benefits to learning. Yeah? Our research, others have shown that kids who eat healthier learn better. Our results have shown that kids who are physically active are doing better in schools. And in addition to that, we're doing new research, and some of our new research shows that the importance of good sleep. So we know sleep is important for being awake the next day and is affecting your school performance. But our research also shows that kids who are sleeping well get up the right time, have a good breakfast. So in general, they're much more likely to have a healthy diet, right? And also, you sleep well, you're not tired, so you're much more likely to be more physically active the next day. So by knowing that, what has become a culture now in Apple schools, that we're also targeting sleep. We now have specific sleep campaigns in our Apple schools. So what that means is that it will help delivering our program, which has the objective of healthier eating and more active lifestyle. But at the same time, it will also help with improving school performance. And so the benefits of our program exceed of that of the medical benefits. It also gets into better school performance, just as an example.
You have another program you're working on called Real Kids. What's that?
So Real Kids is a contract that we have with Alberta Health. So every 2 years we go into a randomly selected sample of 150 schools and we survey the children, their parents and their school principals just to get an idea of what is actually going on in terms of health behaviors in this province. We also measure heights and weight so we can monitor whether the obesity epidemic in this province is developing in a favorable direction or not. And same thing, like, are eating habits improving or are they not? So we're doing that to monitor that, but also to evaluate the activities that the government itself is doing. They have a great number of initiatives around the province as well. And so by comparing those schools who use those opportunities with schools who are not using those opportunities, we can actually make some judgment to the extent that their initiatives are effective.
And how would you use that information that you gain?
So that information is summarized in reports, and that's translated back to government. And we also use that information to publish scientific, to reach the broader audience. And the major findings are also posted on our website, which is called realkidsalberta.ca.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you, Cheryl.